You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
To the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
As I promised on Twitter earlier this afternoon, I am drinking red wine out of a Miami Dolphins coffee mug this evening, folks. That's good stuff, baby, because let me tell you, I am flying high, Brain. Your Miami Dolphins are 1-0, and I'm just, look, there are simultaneously no words and not enough words to describe the Dolphins' 36-34 victory over the Chargers in week one of the 2023 NFL season. Missing their best offensive lineman and one of their elite cornerbacks. And on a night where their defense had an absolutely dismal performance and were basically torn apart by the Chargers offensive line, the Miami Dolphins dug down deep, led by Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and Mike McDaniel. They simply outgunned the Los Angeles Chargers and came home with what can only be described as an enormous statement win. And look, not to jump to any conclusions, but some of the hallmarks of a championship team are snatching victory from the jaws of defeat and finding ways to win when you're not clicking on all cylinders. The Dolphins did just that on both accounts. It was, frankly, a championship caliber win. Brain, your thoughts.
Well, first off, was that red wine or was that red Kool-Aid?
No, it's wine.
Okay. So you're it's not
just Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid comes much later in the season.
Okay. So I just want to clarify that you're not yet drinking the Kool-Aid.
There's no Kool-Aid yet.
Okay. But
last time we drank the Kool-Aid, bad things happened. So we're not there yet.
Right. But. This is a great win. It's a great way to start the season.
Like, sure is.
Dolphins fans, don't let anybody. What is the term? What did we coin last year? Don't poop on your parade.
Don't poop on my parade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't pee on my peanuts.
Yeah. So don't let anybody poop on your parade, Dolphins fans, because this was a great start to the season.
Tremendous.
Big time win. Exercising demons from last year, because that was an awful game in SoFi last year against the same Chargers team. To do this without Teron Armstead, against a healthy Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and give up zero sacks, and to have Tua go off and Tyreek Hill lighting it up. I mean, it's what you hope to see when you put this offense together. We've seen it before. And so like you almost aren't shocked. The shocking thing is that after what this offense looked like at the end of last year and what they look like the last time they played this specific team, to do this without Teron Armstead for the offense to look like that is mind-boggling. And it's really exciting. Now, on the other side of things, I think there's enough to keep you sober. There's a lot of things that need to be worked on. There's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up before we start. You know, this is why I chuckled when you said this was a Super Bowl caliber victory.
I didn't say it was Super Bowl caliber. I said it was championship caliber.
Okay. Before you say it is
championship.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My point is, like, great win.
Yes.
Be excited.
Yes.
Don't let anybody poop on your parade.
Don't. That's right.
Let's, you know, take it one game at a time because we've been here before.
Yes, we've been here before. And I've said a million times on this podcast, you know, the NFL is the king of people. You know, NFL fans are the kings and queens of having huge reactions to small sample sizes. And that's exactly what this is. Now, it was exactly what, if you're a Miami Dolphin fan, it was not quite a best case scenario, but it was pretty close. You know, I mean, I think if you had a better defensive performance, it probably was that best scenario, but certainly on the offensive side of the ball, it was just about everything that you could have wanted to see. I mean, you could nitpick it and say, and we'll talk about, you know, the fact that the Dolphins didn't run the ball more. We'll have that discussion. But the fact of the matter is, it is exactly what you wanted to see as Miami Dolphin fans. So we're going to get into this game, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, here on the show today. But first, a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Amplified to Rock. He's at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And we invite you to subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Shout out to everybody watching live right now on the Dolphins Talk YouTube and everybody watching after the fact. Go ahead and smash that like button if you would. Go ahead and just hit that thumbs up. We really appreciate it for it. If you would do that for us. And also download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast. We appreciate you following along. It's always a lot of fun, particularly after a big week one victory. And of course, make sure you're checking out DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. All kinds of news and updates going on that website constantly. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. So check out DolphinsTalk.com. Let's just get right into it, Brain. We're going to talk about the good. We're going to talk about the bad. We're going to talk about the ugly. And, you know, quite frankly, there was a little bit of all of that in this game. But let's start with the good. And if we're going to start with the good, the place to start is Tua Tagovailoa. Because this was, in so many ways, exactly the performance that you wanted to see from Tua Tagovailoa. Yes, there were some moments early on in that game where there was a couple of floated passes that were kind of the signature underthrown deep ball that some people have come to expect from Tua. But as the game progressed, he got into the zone and he made play after play. And I mean, yes, a lot of it was this offensive system that Mike McDaniel is implementing. The Chargers had no idea how to deal with it. And you had receivers running open all day, but Tua Tagovailoa did a great deal of work on his own as well. Let's talk about his numbers in this game. Obviously, you've seen him by now. 28 of 45, 466 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception, a QB rating of 110. It is the third most passing yards on an opening day in history of the National Football League, behind only, I think, Dan Marino and a couple other folks. Like, it was a big, big number. Tua put on a show in this game, Brain. And there was a lot of things that I think what was most impressive to me, and we saw a lot of passes, the beautiful teardrop fade into the end zone that put the Dolphins up right at the end. Proved to be the winning touchdown pass. That was beautiful. You saw the deep pass to Tyreek Hill was another key pass, huge pass that Tua made in this game. But to me, Brain, the biggest moment, the best moment for Tua Tagovailoa in this game actually came early in the fourth quarter. Dolphins were down 31 to 27 at this point in the game. And Tua had the play before fumbled the snap from Connor Williams. And again, we can get into Connor Williams and all of that, but this appeared to be the Tua wasn't quite ready for the snap. So he muffs it. He falls on it. Result is a 3rd and 15. The Dolphins are down 31-27. It's the fourth quarter. There's 13 points left. Tua on 3rd and 15 takes the snap, and you see on one of the rare occasions in this game, the pocket sort of crumbles around him. Tua rolls out to his left, makes a play, goes off schedule, something that he has struggled with, and fires a pass to Braxton Berrios on the sideline to convert the first down on 3rd and 15. That was the play where I was like, oh, hello, Mr. Tagovailoa is demanding some recognition. Later in that same drive, he made another play where he did a little shoulder shimmy and got one of the safeties to just back up, just pause for just a second, put him in conflict for just a second. And that little split second of indecision from that defender gave Tua the time he needed to fire a laser beam of a pass that Braxton Berrios caught just off of the turf. An incredible catch, an incredible pass. And those two plays were when I sat there and I went, Tua might just be taking those steps that we needed him to make, that we needed him to take. It happened. It was an impressive sequence. That drive ended up stalling out. The Dolphins only ended up hitting a field goal on the drive. But in those moments, I was locked in. And Brain, that was when I said, Tua is not playing around anymore.
Look, Tua had a great game. He had some mistakes. The interception, I thought, was... You know, and I heard to see people saying that it was a defensive pass interference, and, you know, other people are saying, well, it was man coverage one-on-one, like he's giving his guy a shot to, you know, to make the play. I just didn't think it was a great decision given that they were in scoring position, and it's, you know who you're throwing it to. Like Braxton Berrios isn't a, you know, a 50-50 ball guy. He's undersized in that matchup. I thought that was a bad mistake. He also fumbled a snap. Like, it's not like Tua had a perfect game, but that said, outside of those mistakes, he was on fire. And what you see in this, what you saw in this game is kind of, this is the book on Tua. Tua is an extremely good instinctual quarterback. When he just plays with freedom, he does amazing things on the field. And you saw this in Alabama, and this was as probably in this game, I thought this was as close to Bama Tua as we've seen since Tua has been with the Dolphins. I know he had that game against Baltimore last year, and there were shades of this, of that in this game, but that game against Baltimore was almost like one quarter of football. Like, this was a almost start to finish, like, on the money. And he had, like, a stretch where he threw some bad passes, but he got it back going. And you're right. Like, he's developed some of the nuances. He's taken some steps. But again, like, one game, September, this is not where you make those determinations.
Right.
An awesome start. We should be excited and we should build off of this, and we hope that the team will build off of this. But I'm not making any sweeping conclusions about this team, about Tua, about anything right now off of one game.
Yes, and that's absolutely right. And nobody should be making overarching statements, definitive statements about everything. Listen, we've got a show here called The Same Old Dolphin Show. As easy as it would be to be like, these are not the same old Dolphins. That's not a declaration that we make in September or October. We've learned, look, go to our pinned tweet right now, right? That's not something that we do. You can absolutely say that performance on Sunday, absolutely not a same old Dolphins type performance, right?
Almost.
Same old Dolphins don't win that game, but
There were shades of same old Dolphins, but they overcame it.
There certainly were, but it was in all a tremendous, tremendous performance from the Miami Dolphins. And it wasn't just Tua. I mean, you got to talk about Tyreek. 11 receptions, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. Dude's an alien. The dude is an alien. It is unbelievable his ability to, and part of it is scheme. Part of it is scheme. He's getting schemed open. But the other part of it is that he just has that speed and that ability to get open and get to the football, which is, it's made even more incredible by the fact that he's just like, he's an undersized player and he still makes it happen. He is just such an incredible weapon, and that combination of Tua and Tyreek is quickly becoming a dangerous one. And if you are a DFS person and you had Tua and Tyreek in your lineup over the weekend, you probably had a pretty good day on Sunday.
As somebody who doesn't play, who's not playing fantasy this year, I've played fantasy football every single year since probably I was like, I don't know, 8 years old, 9 years old. So like 30 years, basically, I've played fantasy football every year. And the last couple of years, I just haven't been feeling it. And so I decided I'm not going to do it this year. I'm just going to focus on the actual league, football, my team, not worrying about my fantasy team. And honestly, so far, I kind of like it. But yeah, if you did have Tyreek and Tua on your team, God bless you.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing about the Dolphins, right? And Tyreek was a monster, and I happened to be going up against a guy with Tyreek in one of my leagues. It's just how it goes. And that's fine. I'm happy to take that L. I'm happy to take that L if it means that Tyreek's going to put up numbers like that for the Dolphins in a victory. But the thing is, it wasn't just Tyreek Hill. The Dolphins, you saw the addition of some other weapons. And I think the weapon that I think made the biggest difference in this game for the Miami Dolphins, the new weapon, was Braxton Berrios. I think the addition of Braxton Berrios and his instincts on the field made such an enormous difference in this game. Because when things did go awry in the pocket for the Dolphins and Tua had to move around and Tua had to go off schedule, Braxton Berrios was the guy who seemed to figure out how to break off of his route and then make a move to get somewhere where Tua could find him. Braxton Berrios has instincts out there that are tremendous, and he has already been a great, great, great addition to this Miami Dolphins team, and I think it's something that we're going to see more of as the season goes on. I think he's already fitting in great, Brain. I enjoyed seeing Eric Azukama. Boy, I thought I was going to, that one hot take with Eric Azukama, I thought was going to pay off on that opening possession when he took the, when he took that sweep, almost popped it in, but it's good to see him getting involved. It's good to see River Craycraft getting involved. It's good to see Durham Smythe made a couple of big catches. It was nice to see his involvement. The ball was being spread around on offense from this Dolphins. It just seemed, everything seemed to be clicking. I mean, even on the occasions that they did run the ball, Mostert had a couple of nice, tough runs that you liked that looked good. Ahmed didn't look as strong, but Mostert certainly did in moments. Brain, it was just all around a great performance from these Miami Dolphins skill players.
Yeah, great team performance on offense, without a doubt. I mean, look, they scored 36 points. They obviously left an extra point out there with Jason Sanders. So that's 37. You had a fumble at the 5 yard line on the opening drive.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like you were on the doorstep going for a touchdown right there. And then you threw the interception when you were in scoring range. That's at least 11 points that you left out there. Like, and that's not even counting, like, if you want to say that they left some points out there settling for a field goal in the red zone, but they left this, they could have easily had 47 points in this game easily without the self-inflicted wounds. This was a dominant offensive performance in every phase of the game. And look, I get the concern about running the ball. I even was saying it during the game. I'm like, look, at some point you need to be able to stick to the run, but it's hard to make that argument when you're averaging over 10 yards per pass. And when you're putting up points the way that they're putting up points, and you're doing it like without really having any pressure from Bosa and Mac, because you would think, well, you want to run the ball to have balance so that you're not putting your tackles at risk there because you know you're shaky there, but it didn't matter. And so, like, yes, at some point the Dolphins are going to need to run the ball this season, but if Tua is playing like that and the offense is flowing like this and there's no answer for it, then there's no reason to take your foot off the gas. So,
absolutely.
I'll get on Mike McDaniel about things. He's not immune to criticism. I don't think anybody on this team, on this roster, or in the coaching staff is immune from criticism. But I'm not going to criticize Mike McDaniel's play calling when the Dolphins quite literally should have had 47 points in this game.
Yeah, 20 rushes for 70 yards out of 65 offensive snaps for the Miami Dolphins in this game. But the other thing that we got to talk about, Brain, because we just simply have to, I need to know, is Butch Berry a magician? Because that offensive line was impressive. It was solid. Tua Tagovailoa dropped back 45 times in this game. He was not sacked. He only took one hit. You rarely, if ever, heard the names of Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack. Isaiah Wynn stepped up at left guard. Kendall Lamb was solid at left tackle for Terron Armstead. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Austin Jackson held his own versus Joey Bosa. I will ask you again, Brain. Is Butch Berry a magician?
He might be. He might be. But look, I think there were signs coming into the, that we saw in the preseason that Kendall Lamb was playing it's the preseason, but he was playing at a very high level when he was out there. And he looked like he was going to be serviceable. And Austin Jackson, look, I think this might be a case. It's early. I'm not going to make sweeping conclusions about the tackle as much as I'm not going to make sweeping conclusions about Tua. But we've been waiting for the light bulb to come on for Austin Jackson. He's got all of the physical tools. This is a really good sign. And maybe Butch, Butch Berry is, maybe he does have some kind of secret sauce. Maybe he found a way to, teach in that regard, what needed to happen. He got the light bulb to come on. I don't know. But, coaching matters. And this has been an offensive line that has gone from, inexperienced coach to inexperienced coach. And they brought in an experienced coach. And it's one game, but it looks like they maybe are having results. But it's one game. So again, a lot of this could also be, all right, well, did they scheme? Like, how did they scheme it? The more games that are played, the more you get a sample size, the more you see how defenses are going to adjust to attack. We'll see how this thing plays out in the long run. I think it's important not to make any sweeping conclusions, but you got to feel encouraged about the offensive line, because now, if you can do that against the Chargers, you should feel like, well, all right, we don't need to play an offensive lineman who's not 100%.
Right.
If Terron Armstead is not 100%, and we just did that to the Chargers. Let's wait until we get Teron Armstead at 100% so that Teron Armstead doesn't get hurt again in two games.
Right. Right. You want to try to keep him as healthy as possible. And if the performance that we saw today, or on Sunday rather, is any indication, then there's not going to be a rush to get Armstead back. You'll avoid the situation where you had Armstead feeling like he needed to run out and be playing at 75%. Now, if 75% of Teron Armstead is as good as he's going to get, then that's a whole other story. But the fact of the matter is, if he can get healthier, let him get as healthy as he can get and then bring him back. So very, very, very positive signs on that from the offensive line in this game. Brain, there's one other thing I got to talk about in the good. And I mean, there's an abundance, just so much good in this. And I want to talk about Mike McDaniel's aggressiveness. Because, you know, when he goes for it on 4th and 7 in the first half and he gives the Dolphins a first down, that they would end up going down and scoring their first touchdown of the game. That's big. That's big, good aggression. But the one for me, and it ultimately proved to be the difference in the game, Bryn, Dolphins give up a score with 9 seconds to go in the first half. And I would venture to say that probably 99% of head coaches in the National Football League in the year of our Lord 2023, when their team gets the ball back with 9 seconds to go before halftime on the road, are going to have that quarterback just take a snap and take a knee and go in to halftime. Not Mike McDaniel. No, Mike McDaniel said, I'm going to run a couple of plays. I'm going to do an out route to pick up a big chunk of yardage to give me a shot to do a Hail Mary. And on that Hail Mary, I'm just going to somehow convince J.C. Jackson to make the stupidest play that he could make and commit a pass interference penalty and give my kicker an opportunity to put us on the board with no time on the clock before halftime. And that's what happens. And that field goal by Jason Sanders proves to be the difference in the game, Brain. Mike McDaniel, sometimes aggressive to a fault, but in this case, that aggression was well rewarded, and the Miami Dolphins got the dub because of it.
Yeah, I think obviously, like, look, that was as boneheaded a play as you will ever see. The play by J.C. Jackson that got the Dolphins in field goal range at the end of the first half. But it doesn't happen unless you're aggressive. And so, you know, you tip your cap to Mike McDaniel on that. The 4th and 7 that they go for. What I like is there's a consistency there. And it started last year. What was it? 4th and 6 in the opener last year, yep, against the Patriots, like right around midfield, where Tua hits Waddle and he takes it to the house.
Yep.
And it's been and it's been consistent since then. And it's not just a philosophical thing where, like, it's playing the odds. At a certain point, it becomes second nature because there's no nerves for this team when they get into a fourth down situation like that. They're expecting to go for it. And so you see it, you saw it throughout the preseason. You know, obviously the preseason is a great time to do this because you don't have anything to risk. But like, if you're going to consistently, every time you get into that situation, if you're in 4th and manageable and you're not in field goal range, but you're on the opposing side of the 50 and your team knows, hey, we're going to go for it in this situation, then you don't even blink. It takes the pressure off on 3rd down. You don't have the nerves on 4th down. And so you're just playing football at that point. And I think you see it. The Dolphins offense is playing with supreme confidence. Tua is playing with supreme confidence. And that only is going to breed good things for this football team.
Yeah. Truly, truly. So, man, between, gosh, there's so many things that are great about this. I almost hate to transition to the things that aren't so great, but we got to do it because we got to be well-rounded. We can't just sit here and tell you that everything's fine and dandy, even though it's wonderful. It's a good place to be right now. So we're going to talk about some of the things that need improvement and some of the things that we need to keep an eye on as we go forward, because they are certainly areas of concern. But before we do that, I want to remind you to check out Caldera Labs. Go to calderalabs.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and you can get some really great liquid formulations for your face. Get your head out of the gutter. These are great liquid formulations that are really going to take care of your skin. They're going to make you look younger. They're going to take care of you. So gentlemen, it's time that you start taking care of your skin. Go to calderalabs.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and you're going to get 20% off of your order of some great, great things. Brain, let's talk about these areas where that the Dolphins need a little bit of improvement. Let's talk about the bad, and then we'll talk about the ugly. And the obvious one is I'm going to save for the ugly. So let's talk about the bad here first. And for me, the bad is Jason Sanders broken? I mean, he hit that field goal. He hit the field goals, but he missed that extra point. And boy, I thought when he missed that extra point, I'm like, we're going to lose this game because Jason Sanders missed that extra point.
Well, look, you're not wrong. Like, he missed that extra point, and I think collectively there was a sigh in you know, from all the Dolphins fans around the world. I think we all at that point were resigned to, we're going to lose this football game. 100%, we're going to lose this football game at that point when he missed the extra point. But here's the thing. When you say, is he broken? Where would the Dolphins have been if he doesn't make those three field goals? And
I mean, fair.
You know, granted, you know, one of them was a chip shot, but the last two field goals were, you know, kind of clutch. They were not chip shots at all. You know, they were, what was the distance on the second? I know the third one was a 45 yarder and it was in crunch time. It was a big kick that made it that took it from a 4-point game to a 1-point game, I believe, in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's a pretty big kick in a big spot. I think Jason Sanders is fine. You can't miss extra points.
You can't miss extra points. And that's Pete Stojanovic wouldn't miss extra points. Yeah. Granted, he was kicking from the 10-yard line.
Yeah. You can't miss the extra points. But if he doesn't miss the extra point, he's one of the bright spots in the game.
Yeah, he had a 23-yarder, a 41-yarder, and a 45-yarder.
Yeah, so I mean, you expect him to make the chippy, but two field goals in a close game between 40 to 45 yards, one of them in the fourth quarter, those are big kicks. And he made them. He looked good. They weren't adventurous kicks. Like, I think he's fine. I don't think we need to overreact about it. But obviously, it's something that we're going to take a look at. What I'll say about this is, barring Jason Sanders, like, completely getting the yips, and I don't think that's where we're at, Jason Sanders is going to be your kicker for the season. Like, we went through a stretch last year where he struggled, and you had a lot of people calling for the Dolphins to go out on the free agency wire and just pick up a random kicker. You are not going to find a better kicker in free agency right now. Jason Sanders is fine. The way he plays the rest of the season will determine whether he's on this team next year.
Yeah, that is the question at this point. But let's talk about the other bad before we get to the ugly, and we all know what the ugly is going to be. Let's talk about Connor Williams a little bit.
I thought that was the ugly.
No. You know what the ugly is.
Honestly, I thought that was the ugly.
No, we got to talk about Connor Williams and these snap issues. Now, granted, we need to take a closer look to see whether it was a communication issue or what the case was, but there were two bad snaps on that first drive. Granted, the first one was saved because of an offside penalty on the Chargers, but then we had the turnover late in the drive, and we saw it all preseason, and we saw it again today, that there are some snapping issues with Connor Williams. And this was a guy that was demanding, or not demanding necessarily, because he's out there anyway, but he wanted some money. He wanted to get paid. And yet here we are, and this guy is seems to still be it's not looking good here. We gotta fix these issues, whether it's communication or if it's just purely, you know, issues snapping the ball. Connor Williams, if you're gonna be the center of this team, we can't afford those kinds of mistakes. We got away with it on Sunday, but you won't always get away with that kind of mistake.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We talked about it in the preseason. We're going to talk about it again here. I hope this is the last time that we're talking about it. But at this point, kind of feels like it's going to happen again. Like,
yes, it's only just a matter of time.
Like, this is it's worth noting that, you know, this was a guy that was a guard that they moved to center, and he had some snap issues last year. And he's still having some snap issues. There's no questioning his ability once the ball has been snapped. Like, the mobility that he has at the center position, whether he was playing center or playing guard, he moves at an elite level for an interior offensive lineman. And it's a huge advantage to have that. But it's negated if he's your center and he can't have a clean snap. So it has to get cleaned up. That you can't excuse it. You can't even really cover it up with saying, well, yeah, but he does all these other things. If he doesn't get the snaps cleaned up, it negates all of the positives about Connor Williams. So he's got to get it figured out. Otherwise, you know, I don't have any problem signing him and to an extension and paying him, but then you just got to bring in somebody to play center.
Yeah, I mean, you know who the backup center is right now, don't you?
Oh, God. Liam, yeah. Eichenberg. That's another right, guy, man. Who can't play, who they're, you know, they're turning into a center as a project.
Yeah, well, so there you go. So, all right, we've danced around it long enough. Let's talk about this defense, because, oh boy, the defense was an issue in this game. Particularly the run defense gave up 234 yards on 40 rushing attempts. That is no bueno. Now, the defensive front was largely handled with ease by the Chargers offensive line. And I think it's fair to say that the Chargers have one of the best offensive lines in the league when they're all healthy. So, I mean, I guess you could understand that. But the linebackers didn't have a very good day. David Long seemed to get pulled from this game, Brain. The linebackers just seem to have a hard time with their run fits, and just they seem to be out of position for a lot of the time. And I don't know if they were just worried about spending a lot of time thinking about how to slow down Justin Herbert, and they were kind of out of position and unprepared for all of the running that Eckler and Kelly did in this game. But either way, it was a worrying performance from the defense. Now, that being said, when the game was on the line and the Dolphins took the lead late and you knew that the Chargers were going to need to pass the ball, that was when Vic Fangio decided, hey, I'm going to bring it all. And we're going to shut it down. We're going to bring pressure. We're going to bring the blitz. And that really, they totally shut down the Chargers and Justin Herbert on that final drive. But before that, it really looked like this team just wasn't quite sure of what they needed to do. Like, they weren't all quite on the same page. And it was just, you know, again, it's a small sample size. So as bad as the performance was overall, it's difficult to take too much away from it and jump to grand conclusions. But it was not the most heartening performance from a Dolphins defense that most of us expected to be much improved this year.
there's a lot that went into this defensive performance. There are layers to why the Chargers had so much success running the football. One of them is just the defense. Like the style of this defense, there is a lot of stress put on the linebackers. Because the linebacker, there's a lot of stress put on the defensive line. There's a lot of stress put on the linebackers. The defensive linemen are having to play gap and a half, which means they're playing gap control, but that they also need to be able to penetrate. They did not do a good job of penetrating, shedding blockers and making plays. So that goes on Christian Wilkins. That goes on Zach Sealer. Raekwon Davis really did not do a great job in this game. So like the defensive line got pushed around, didn't do a great job. The linebackers, though, they have probably an even more difficult job because they're expected to be first and foremost in coverage, but then be able to quickly react and then fit the run. And what we saw in this game was that they did a terrible job of fitting the run. David Long did a terrible job of fitting the run. Jerome Baker did a terrible job of fitting the run. Now, granted, if the defensive line makes a few more plays, then you get away with some of that. But, I mean, just look at the tackle numbers. Like, I mean, the Dolphins' top five tacklers were like, none of them were linebackers. The Dolphins' top five tacklers in this game were Javon Holland, Deshaun Elliott, Jalen Phillips, who's an edge, Kader Kohu, who's an edge, and then Xavien Howard, who's a corner. You had to go all the way down to like the sixth guy on the list to get to a linebacker. That should not be happening. The fact that that Javon Holland and Deshaun Elliott combined for 27 tackles in this game. Like, if your safeties, and I get that this defense is like predicated on safeties coming up and making plays, but if you've got your two safeties and your two cornerbacks making more tackles than any of your linebackers, that tells you that the running backs are not just getting to the second level, they're getting to the third level. And that's just, that cannot happen. And that's really on the linebackers. But, you know, part of it is also, like you said, the Chargers have a good offensive line. Part of it is that the Dolphins made a decision in their game plan to say, we're betting that if we play pass defense the entire game, the Chargers will eventually get antsy and try to win the game with Justin Herbert, and they'll play into our hands. But they stayed patient, much to Kellen Moore's credit. That was a very, like, it's not easy when you were 30th in the league last year in running the football. You've got a stud quarterback in Justin Herbert. You've got all these weapons at wide receiver. It's not easy to stay with the running game. It's a lot easier when you're running for like 6-7 yards a carry. I get that. But it's still, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a good offensive coordinator to see what's happening there and stick with it. I thought that was a really good disciplined game plan by the Chargers. But at the end of the day, the defense just has to be better. The defensive line has to be better. The linebackers have to be better. The thing that's concerning to me is that if David Long is getting pulled, you know, after playing 17 snaps and he's getting pulled at stack linebacker for Andrew Van Ginkle, well then, you know, I heard a lot of people talking about how great a signing David Long was and how David Long was not just going to be a great fit for this defense, but how he was actually going to be an upgrade over Jerome Baker. Well, he wasn't even an upgrade over Andrew Van Ginkle. And so if he's not an upgrade over Andrew Van Ginkle, like, did we really upgrade that position? Did we really upgrade that room? And that is something that I'm concerned about because I believe, look, I trust Vic Fangio. The dude's got like 20 plus years of a track record that says he's going to figure this thing out. The Dolphins are not going to be out of position and like a poor, they're not going to be a poorly coached defense like they were under Josh Boyer. Like they're not going to lose. They're not going to be a bad defense because of Vic Fangio. The problem is, I don't know that there's enough talent there for this team to be, for this defense to really be as good as we hope that it's going to be. And if it's not as good as we hope it's going to be, then we're really putting a lot of stress on the offense, which is great when they play like they did on Sunday. But what happens when they don't play like they did on Sunday? And that's what we need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, you know, like I said, we said earlier, there's a long way to go in this season. This is the first data point of 17 data points that we're going to get this season in terms of how this team looks on offense and defense and special teams. So there's a long way to go. We don't want to jump to conclusions. And the fact of the matter is we're talking about these points in the game because they're things that we have to talk about, because we do a podcast where we talk about the Dolphins, and we're not going to be intellectually dishonest and tell you that it was a perfect game. You know, the fact of the matter is, yes, we're thrilled. We're over the moon. In fact, if you want to talk about how we're feeling, I think this is a perfect opportunity to talk about how we're feeling.
Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It is time for another Miami Dolphins Pulse Check. This is where you give us one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now. We put the call out on Twitter. We put the call out in the comments for everybody who's watching the show live right now. This is where you tell us one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now. And Brain, I want you to go first here. What is your pulse check?
I don't want to get fancy. I'm going to be very straightforward. I feel good. I feel good. The Dolphins played, you know, won a big game to open the season. They won a road game against another team that I think is a playoff team. I think that those two teams that played yesterday, I think both of those teams are playoff teams. I think both of those teams maybe are good enough to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. Well, time will tell on that. But I get the feeling that both of those teams are playoff teams, are real contenders. And the Dolphins won the battle. They won the battle with Tua playing the, you know, outshining the opposing quarterback. You know, we talked about, we haven't really touched on it because we've been pretty good about not just breaking down every show into devolving into just breaking down Tua. You know, it's gotten boring, but it's going to get talked about as the season progresses. You know, can Tua, how good is he in comparison to the other quote unquote elite quarterbacks? And what's going to happen when he actually gets into a shootout with one of those quarterbacks? Well, here we are, week one on the road in crunch time. And he shines. He plays his best in crunch time. So I feel good about it. As much as, like, you know, it sucks that the defense did not play well and it was disappointing, with the game on the line, especially after you missed that extra point and it seemed like we were doomed to let the Chargers drive right down the field and kick a game-winning field goal, the defense stood up and came up with a big stop in crunch time. So I feel good about that too. I feel good about where this team is. I'm not going to overstate it. I'm not going to jump over the moon about it, but I feel good.
Yeah, I think that is a good answer. Let's hear what some of the people had to say about it, Brain. Dawn Rago says she's pumped. At Dolphins Talk says jubilation. Jorge GM says rapt. Patrick Mullen, impressed. Jordan Murray says elated.
Wait a minute. Who
Patrick
said?
Patrick Mullen said impressed. Yes. You did. You heard that correctly.
Wow. Yeah. Is he drinking the Kool-Aid?
I don't know that he's drinking the Kool-Aid, but I know that he's, it sounds like he's feeling pretty good. He's impressed, at least. As I said, Jordan Murray said elated, although he did clarify that he's not sure if he's elated or gassy, but he's somewhere in that zone. Three Kids Are a Blessing says optimistic. Daniel Markham says different, and then in parentheses says in a great way. So a very strong answer there. Let's see what else we got here. Over on the Facebook, we got Russell Grace says catatonic from unexpected excitement. So they clarified that. And Craig Clifton says thankful. Let's see what we got here in
Clifton said he's thankful?
Craig Clifton said thankful. So let's see what we've got here in the comments here. Let's see. Anthony Lombardo says pumped. Chris Wehrman says hopeful. Alex Monterey says optimistic. Let's see. We got, let's see here. Scrolling up here. We got Danny Salonzo says fortunate. J.M. Santos, this is two words, says cautiously optimistic. Laird Fentress says electrified. Kyle Hartfield says winning. Colton Branch says optimistic. Tervalis Tinker says outstanding. Nick Judkins, he says Tua and Tyreek equals TNT. Nick Judkins says dynamite. I wonder, he should say that like dynamite.
Well, I think it's actually, never mind. That was the same person. I was going to say, man, that's really appropriate. They went from TNT to dynamite, but it was the same person.
They linked it up. It's pretty good.
Well done.
And then John Well says hungover, which I could hardly blame you for that. So everybody's feeling good. And I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling right now, Brain. I am feeling pleased. You know, I mean, I was fired up last night. I mean, I'm still fired up. I'm drinking red wine out of a coffee cup here. You know, I'm feeling.
Oh,
good times. Yeah, I am pleased. This was everything you could have asked for, basically, from the Dolphins. Huge road victory against a team that is absolutely going to be in that conversation as you're coming down the stretch in the home stretch at the end of this season, when you're looking at maybe the wild card picture or the seeding in the AFC. If we're talking about possibly competing for the one seed or who's going to get how many games at home and whatnot, it is very, very possible that victory over the Chargers is going to factor into that conversation at the end of the year. So this is just, I am pleased, and this sets the Dolphins up very nicely to go to Foxborough in week two and take on the Patriots in a big Sunday night game on the road. It is a great start. I'm like you said, I'm feeling good. I am pleased with the Miami Dolphins right now, Brain.
It's an exciting time to be in September as a Dolphins fan.
Oh, we got shouts out from the Bahamas. Oh, shout out. How about a roll call? Everybody give us a shout out. We got Tervalis Tinker watching from the Bahamas live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel tonight. If you're watching live, let us know where you're watching from. We love to hear from how far reaching the Miami Dolphins fan base family is. It's good to hear from you. Tervalis, thanks for watching. We appreciate it very much. Oh, we got Jay Boyd, Colorado, is watching from Colorado. It's excellent. Brain, as the folks put their answers into the chat, is there any parting words that you have for the people before we get ready to head off to Foxborough?
Well, this is where I'm going to lose a bunch of people, but I'm going to
say it. Oh, geez, here he goes. Here he goes.
So, a few weeks ago, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City dropped their season trailer.
Uh-oh.
And I said,
oh, this is what the people come here for. They come here for the Real Housewives talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I'm not going to disappoint them. And as I watched that trailer, I got so pumped up, and I said to my wife, I said, because their last season was kind of a down season after two great seasons out of the gate, I said, this is going to be a real bounce back year for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And she looked at me and she said, oh yeah,
Do you feel more confident about that or about the Dolphins being good? And I stopped and I paused and I didn't have an answer. I really didn't know. And so it was at that point that I realized the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season starts the same week as the Miami Dolphins regular season.
Oh, baby.
So I have decided that I'm going to tally it up. It's going to be completely subjective. But after Tuesday night's premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I didn't think there was a way in hell that the Miami Dolphins were going to come away 1-0 in this matchup. But I was wrong. The Dolphins beat the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City yesterday, 1-0 Miami.
Wow, we beat the Chargers and the Real Housewives. You'd love to see it.
You beat Mary Cosby. You beat Lisa Barlow. It's not easily done.
Oh, man. Shout out to everybody watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We've got Samuel in Las Vegas, Diane from Tampa. We've got Jordan in Texas. We got Sue in Connecticut. How about Nick in Middle Tennessee? Oh, my. Let's see. We got J.M. Santos is in Vegas. Oh, Laird Fentress is throwing some shade at you, saying you lost any and all cool points you had. If you thought
Brain I didn't had realize cool points, I had any.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and Mrs. Brain is in the chat.
She loved the reference.
She likes it. She likes the Real Housewives. That's what Mrs. Brain comes to this show for the Housewives talk. And then, Laird is in North Carolina. Good old North Carolina. Well, folks, thank you from wherever you are, wherever you were watching live. If you're watching after the fact, if you're listening after the fact, leave us a comment, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube. Leave it in the comments. Leave it after the fact. We want to hear from everybody. We want to know where you're watching from, where you're listening from. We appreciate you being part of the family. If you could do us a favor, leave us a 5-star rating, leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'd appreciate that very much. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. I am also on Blue Sky now, so you can follow me there at Amplified to Rock. I'm trying to start NFL Blue Sky, so come and meet us over there. That is going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show, but we will be back on Thursday and every Monday and Thursday for the rest of the season. Obviously, there will be some programming shifts around Thanksgiving and the other holidays, but otherwise, we're planning to be with you every Monday, every Thursday for the rest of the season here on the Same Old Dolphin Show on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network, on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, on the Miami Dolphins, I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. And listen, we'd be remiss if before we signed off that we didn't send our best wishes to Aaron Rodgers to get well soon. He suffered an injury on the first drive in for the Jets. You know, you never wish injury upon anybody. Yes, you want the Jets to be humiliated and embarrassed all the time. That's always something that you want, but you want that to do that because of their own malfeasance, their own inability to get things done. You don't want anybody to get hurt. So, you know, listen, obviously wishing him a speedy recovery. Hopefully it's not too serious for him, but, you know, it's always okay to enjoy seeing the Jets lose, even if it's to the Bills, who you don't really like to see the Bills win, but whatever. It is what it is. Anyway, Brain, I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode. So for Aaron the Brain, thank you very much for watching. Take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Coach Cocohones strikes again.